Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
8:14. Tim, bring that up for a second. I think we've answered that question. Jeff Nowak joins us now, WWL Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff? Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, perhaps has me muted.
Can you not hear me?
I can hear you now, Jeff. How you doing?
I don't think that was on my end. I don't know. I'm going to look at Tim over there because I was talking. I'm doing good, Tommy.
Tim's pounding his chest saying, it's on me, fellas. It's on me.
I mean, I won't put it past me to be muted. I had to check, but this one I'm not claiming.
So on a positive note, I just want to get this out there right away, okay? I like the white helmets. I did.
No, I wasn't a huge fan of the gold jerseys. I didn't really care for the color palette. Like, I know what they were going for, which is the lettering color, but no, I thought it's funny because I remember in 2019 they went out to Seattle and wore the Color Rush jerseys, and those were really popular, and they won the game. And then it was like every big game from that point on, you saw the Color Rush jerseys. And I thought if they went out there and they wore those white helmets and the Color Rush jerseys, and they didn't even win, played well, you'd probably end up seeing that again. I don't know. I don't know if they accomplished that, but I did like that look. Like, you'll see that look again. I don't know how often they're going to be rolling out the gold jerseys. But I think.
Wait, when did they wear a gold jersey?
In week two.
Oh, that's right. What am I thinking of?
Yeah, that was like it feels like a month ago.
It does.
It was only a couple weeks ago.
Well, and I was out of town, so I had a couple of things going on. But anyway, tell me what it was like on the field and the crowd, because it seems like I heard conflicting things about the crowd being in it, but the crowd really wasn't in it because they were more socializing because the game was so out of hand.
Well, you know, it's funny because that's not a crowd that was particularly enthused with the home team, right? Because they had lost a bunch of home games in that stadium. It had kind of ceased to be this massive home field advantage, or at least one that they took advantage of. And I kind of felt like you didn't really get that kind of full-throated crowd right away. It wasn't until they got the stop on fourth down, and they're like, oh, okay, we got this. Then they went down for the touchdown. They were excited. You started to hear it. Then they had the punt return, and it was turned up to a 10. And then the punt block, and suddenly it was deafening. And that's when the penalties really started coming in for the Saints. Like, it was not disconnected. The crowd was going nuts, and then you started getting false starts and holds. There was a stretch where you had four penalties in six plays, and three of them were false starts. One was a hold. And so that was when the crowd really started going nuts, and it did affect the Saints. There's no question. As the game went on and you're up 38 points, they start to lose some folks, and, you know, people are getting an early start on the traffic, and then it kind of calmed down. But no, it was definitely an impact on that game. Like, when it started kind of unraveling, the crowd is what really kind of pulled that final thread and prevented the Saints from ever really getting settled in. It was impressive. You know, you hear a lot about it, and you definitely got it in that game.
You've had some time to reflect. Any bright spots at all
from that game?
Yeah,
not really.
No.
I appreciate Jack Stoll. I thought he had, you know, that
touchdown was a good catch.
Nice moment for him. It was his first career touchdown, and he made a nice play on it. And I do think that play kind of emphasized one of the issues the Saints have, which is, you know, you look around the NFL and you see a lot of the best teams, one of the things they do best is kind of the second phase of a play. The play breaks down and they find something. You know, Patrick Mahomes, you watch the Chiefs, it feels at times like 90% of their offense is unscripted and Pat Mahomes is just making a play.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, you know, you look at these teams, like these are the best teams in the NFL. That's what they do best is creating off schedule. And the Saints just don't seem to be very good at that. And that's Spencer Rattler talked about that coming out of the game. They got to work on scramble drill. Kellen Moore kind of echoed that yesterday. And that was an example of it working, right? So, you know, why is it not working more frequently? And then you got to figure that out. But that was a nice moment for him. That's the only thing I can really look to. Rashid Shaheed had a nice punt return. But otherwise, I'm not going to. Oh, and Quincy Riley forced a fumble. That's the other one positive note I can give you. You also came out of that reasonably healthy. This is the first week of the season where we didn't wake up on Monday and find out about an injury a season-ending injury for the guy that never went into an injury tent during the game. So that's a good thing, right? Hopefully, because you look around the NFL, there's a lot of injuries out there. You got guys dropping like flies at the running back position, at the wide receiver position, at the quarterback position. And that's the difference between this year and last year and why you hope they can at least right the ship to some extent. Is you're actually in a decent position from an injury perspective.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you even begin to right the ship. And let me right this ship. You're gaslighting me, bro. They wore the gold jerseys against the Cardinals, not the 49ers.
You're right.
Yeah. That looked to me, when I was in high school, I was in ROTC for 2 weeks, and I decided not to do that, and I wanted to do something else. So they didn't want to let me out of it, so I started wearing the uniform in all different types of combinations, which was disrespectful. I shouldn't have done it, but it got me kicked out, and that's what that reminded me of with the gold jerseys and the khaki pants. And anyway, 8:20, we'll take a break. More with Jeff when we come back. We'll talk about riding the Saints ship. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Right now it's time for traffic on WWL. 8:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. He will be on the sideline when the Saints face the Buffalo Bills this week in Buffalo. How do you go about, man, 16.5-point favorite? That's a lot of points in an NFL game, but it seemed like a lot of points on Sunday, too. Let me go to the text line real quick. Somebody wants to know about Taysom Hill. Where is Taysom Hill, Jeff?
Taysom, you know, we've seen him. He's around. Doesn't seem like he's particularly close. We won't be able to see him until week 5 at the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
And with the way the PUP list works, you can't come back to practice, in my understanding, prior to week 4. So even, you know, you could theoretically get him and Foster Moreau back week 5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
But, you know, they're going to need to get – they've been out for a long time. They're going to need to get practices under their belt. So I don't think he's going to be he's going to be saving anyone's day anytime soon.
So how do you go about – man, if you look at the penalty with Brzee, how do you go about righting the ship? There's so much low-hanging fruit, but it seems like week after week there's so much hanging low-hanging fruit and they don't address it.
Yeah, you know, I thought they did a good job week two of cutting out the procedural stuff. I do think the atmosphere in Seattle was a big part of that. But, you know, you have to be able to navigate those environments. And it was the first road game of the season. A lot of young players, you know, a lot of the penalties, procedural penalties, you had three on Kelvin Banks, one on Awesome Richards, one on Torricelli Simpkins, I believe, one on Xavier Truss. So these are young guys that are experiencing this for the first time, and you hope they get better at it, right? So that's one thing. Brian Brzee's penalty, that's just a bonehead mistake. You can't have that. There's got to be some accountability for it. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how Kellen Moore handles that this week, because that's kind of, in my opinion, the first, like, major test of his head coaching regime. Like, when you're playing well and punching kind of above your weight and being competitive and taking things down to the wire, you can pull positives out of that. Well, there's just not a lot you can pull positively out of this. These has to be learning moments and teaching moments. And it's on the coach and the coordinators to drive that home. And sometimes you got to be mean, you know. And that's my question: is Kellen Moore capable of being mean? I don't know. I've never seen him be mean. I always knew Sean Payton could be mean. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Kellen. So that's a question. But these guys, the good thing is, there's a lot of veterans in this locker room that can help drive those points home. And I think that's going to be a big part of it.
But you got to be large and in charge. You have to be.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that's what we're going to learn about Kellen, and that's we haven't seen him have to be that way yet. But we'll see how they respond. Because here's the thing: like, you're going to have bad moments. We all came into this season saying this team isn't going to be great. Like, they might outplay expectations, but there's going to be down moments, and this is a down moment. It's only a major problem if you come back next week and you look the same. If you don't look like there's been any positive momentum at all. You know, and when you're a 16.5-point underdog, all you have to do is go out there and push that team to feel like you're on the right track. Now, if you go out and win it, fantastic. But what you need to see is a team that looks capable of winning, that looks competitive. And on special teams, you cannot play the way you did on special teams and win a game. You cannot surrender a 95-point punt return, allow a blocked punt, allow a 60-yard kickoff, and expect to win. So that's what you got to be better at.
I think going into Buffalo, I think if I'm Kellen Moore, I'm taking the approach, look, we can't control what they do. The only thing we can do is control what we do. Everybody, I know it's cliche, but do your job, follow your assignments, follow the game plan, and let's see what happens. Wrong?
Yep, I agree with you 100%.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Have a good time in Buffalo. Weather should be nice, I would think, huh?
It'll be cool. It'll be chilly. I'll appreciate it.
Have you looked into it or not, the forecast?
I never look at the weather until I get there.
Well, how do you know if you're dressed appropriately or not?
I just play the odds.
What a guy. Let me tell you what's going to happen on Saturday. I'm looking ahead for you here. Highs of 73. Sunny, right? And highs of 73. You lucky son of a gun. Enjoy it.
I dig it.
Yeah, have you been to Buffalo yet or not as a sideline reporter?
I have not been to Buffalo. There's a few stadiums, Seattle, Chicago, Buffalo, that I'm getting to for the first time this year, so I'm excited about it.
Enjoy it. You should, man. I'm going to tell you what. There are only 32 of those jobs in the world, and you got one of them. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. It's National Estuaries Week. We'll talk about that with Lake Pontchartrain Executive Director of the Pontchartrain Conservancy, Christy Trail, when we come back. I had a conversation with somebody over the weekend, as a matter of fact, that Lake Pontchartrain is an estuary, not a lake. Right now, 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is National Estuaries Week. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Let's find out. Christy Trail joins us, Executive Director of the Pontchartrain Conservancy. Good morning, Christy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. And you did say that correctly.
Estuary. Let's start with the Pontchartrain Conservancy, first of all, for people that don't know, what is it that you guys do and who are you?
We are the organization formerly known as Lake Pontchartrain Basin Foundation, which many of your listeners may remember as Save Our Lake, started in 1989. We changed our name about 5 years ago. We're now known as Pontchartrain Conservancy, still doing a lot of the same work all around Lake Pontchartrain, testing the water every week. But we have expanded our work. We do a lot of coastal restoration research and STEM education as well.
When did dredging stop? I'm just thinking about that, Chrissy, as we talk about it and Save the Lake. That had to be one of the more effective advertising campaigns ever, huh?
Yeah, it was. I mean, unfortunately, as the result of a crisis, you know, our lake ecosystem was completely decimated as a result of the clamshell dredging that was happening in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Our organization was founded in 1989, and that was one of the first things that we really focused on was banning clamshell dredging in Lake Pontchartrain. Was banned initially in 1990, permanently in 1991, and still banned to this day, which we're thankful for because the lake is thriving as a result of it.
Is anybody pushing for that to restore, begin again? Is that a fight you're constantly fighting?
Not in Lake Pontchartrain. Fortunately, the moratorium's kind of left that alone. Mm-hmm. We've heard some whispers of it happening in some other areas, but I think we have such a great success story of the turnaround of Lake Pontchartrain once the clamshell dredging stopped that it's a good story for us to just bring up and people remember and they're like, oh, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, see, that's why I wanted to bring that up, Chrissy, because nothing just happens, right? And I would just ask you, where do you think the lake would be if you guys had not gotten that done in 1990? 91, whenever it went up.
Yeah, I mean, it was right around the 1990-91 time frame. You know, that's a great question. I have to think that somebody would have really made the push, whether it was us or somebody else, to make that turnaround happen. It's an interesting story talking about our estuary there. You know, it's shallow. It's only about 12 feet deep on average, which means sunlight can penetrate all the way through to the bottom, which allows grass to grow. And that's the perfect habitat for these clams that live down there, Rangia clams. Mm-hmm. And their job as bottom feeders is to clean the water. And we completely took out all the water cleaners and stirred up the water, which didn't allow the sunlight to penetrate through to the grass. And so everything really kind of fell apart. There's no little fish and no creatures. There's no big fish, right? And then no birds. And so whether it was us or somebody else, I think somebody would have pushed to make it happen because as people moved out to the lakefront, and started to really enjoy that area. I mean, you probably remember back in the days of Augie's Del Lago and sitting out on the seawall. Mm-hmm. When that lake was, you know, started to get contaminated, people were very upset about that. So we're just appreciative of that grassroots effort that really kind of got us started.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring that up, because at the time there was a lot of pushback and what if this, what if that, we can't that, but come to find out it worked out for everybody, I guess, other than those that were dredging for clams and they found someplace else to do it.
Well, that, and we found some other resources, right? I mean, we are built on an alluvial floodplain, so bedrock's not really existent in our area. We just have mud as far down as you could go. So we were using those clamshells to mix with the soft soils to build out infrastructure in a lot of our neighborhoods and for our roads. And because we don't have rock down here, rock is not a natural thing in South Louisiana. If you see any rock down here, just know that it was imported. So we turned to the lake and used a natural material and thought that that was going to be the solution to help us grow and thrive as an economy. But it turns out there's other sources out there, right? So now we use concrete and some other materials to build out our roads and infrastructure. We don't need those clamshells to do that.
And that's why I brought it up, because, you know, in 1991, there are a lot of people alive today. If you look at 9/11, I think the college crowd probably was not alive for 9/11, and they take this clean lake for granted, which was not always the case. I said lake, but maybe I should talk about estuary Pontchartrain. Tell me what makes it an estuary and not a lake.
Yes, it is an estuary. I think you were saying before the news break that you just learned that over the weekend.
Well, I knew it. I was having it because a friend, Carlton Dufour Show, taught me that a long time ago. But I was having a conversation with somebody and explained to them that, no, the water is constantly going in and coming out, right?
That's correct. It's connected to the Gulf. So we get that salt water in from the Gulf. We also get a mix of fresh water from the rivers that drain into the lake from the North Shore and other areas. So that constant mix of the salt and the fresh water creates a brackish environment. And as I mentioned before, it's shallow. On average, it's only about 12 feet deep across the whole lake. So put all those things together, that's what makes it an estuary. We have a lot of estuaries around the United States. Obviously, we think the Pontchartrain Estuary is the best one. It is the fourth largest. Some other ones around the country that some of your listeners may be aware of are Chesapeake Bay and San Francisco Bay. But you know where the best crabs come from, the Pontchartrain Estuary.
And you know where they go. Maryland, unfortunately, a lot of it does happen. And it's amazing how similar Chesapeake Bay is to Lake Pontchartrain, is it not?
That's correct. And yet we ship our crabs up there because they still have some contamination issues that they are dealing with there. And we've done such a great job cleaning up the Pontchartrain Estuary as a result of banning the clamshell dredging that we have a beautiful crab harvest here. But they do take our biggest crabs, so we're stuck with the number twos and threes, but hey, they're still good.
Hi, Christy. So a guy goes in a restaurant and says to the maitre d', do you serve crabs? And the maitre d' says what?
The maitre d' says, only from Lake Pontchartrain.
No, maitre d' says, sit down, we serve anybody. Come on, Christy, 8:51, 9 till 9. We'll pick it up here and we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 8:58, couple of minutes till 9. Tommy Tucker, it's National Estuaries Week. So we're talking with Christy Trail, Executive Director of the Pontchartrain Conservancy. Christy, the fact that the lake is an estuary, that owes its, or that's why they have such a diverse environment in a lake as far as, like, you can have sharks and alligators both, right?
You are correct. We get saltwater creatures and freshwater creatures all happily living together in the estuary.
So what can people do to make sure that the lake stays nice?
Well, everybody can do their part. Yes, in the estuary. Thank you. Do your part. Keep that litter off the ground. You know, in our part of the state, every time it rains, well, of course, it hasn't rained in forever, right? But when it does rain, that litter does wash into the lake itself. So keep that off the ground. You know, maintain your cars and certainly don't dump anything down the drain. Those storm drains drain directly into Lake Pontchartrain. It's not treated. So help us keep the lake clean.
So do you guys have any parties planned or anything for National Estuaries Week?
We've got some fun stuff coming up. We are doing bird walks out at Bucktown every Thursday at 4 p.m. Come meet us out there to check out some birds. And we're going to be showing Jaws out at the lighthouse on October 24th.
Awesome. I bet the weather will be perfect for that. And I was thinking more along the lines of a couple of six-packs on the seawall, but maybe we can make that happen too. Thank you, Christy.
We can do both.
Appreciate you. Do both, right. Why not both? Column A, column B. Christy Trail, Executive Director of the Pontchartrain Conservancy, talking about Lake, a.k.a. Estuary Pontchartrain. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Kelly Schultz about the World Cup for chefs returning to New Orleans, and we'll talk about giving your kids some privacy and making sure they don't go down a rabbit hole.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.